Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
On YouTube, on podcast, on live, this is Rebel Yell from the WFCSN. This is the Rebel Yell podcast, supported by MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Rebel Yell podcast of this 23-24 season, brought to you by Price Jones Electrical and MK Window Cleaning. It's Jacko and it's Spencer tonight. Good evening, lads.
Evening.
Evening.
Pete, are you here? Oh, no, he's not. No, not tonight. Not tonight. He's saving his voice for Sunday, because Sunday, well, playoff semi-final, boys. One better than last year. We'll go through the season since we last spoke, but did you think we'd get there? Honestly.
Honest answer? I didn't see it happening. And, you know, yes, when Hinch left, we lost two games. Then we had that little run where we lost a few games.
Three in a row we lost.
After and then suddenly it seemed to click. I thought we'd get playoffs, but not straight into the semi-final.
I didn't see the semis.
So what did you think, Spencer? Did you think eliminated round?
Yeah. It's absolutely where we were. We had that little run where it weren't going our way, and then we've hit the ground and done.
Because what was it again? We'd lost two or three on the bounce when Hinch...
I think when
then Hinch left, and then we had that Dartford game postponed, that worldie from Wadham that won goal of the month. First win for... Oh, hang on a second. Because that game was... You both weren't there, were you? But it was really competitive, that game. Very good game of football. And it had to be broken by a worldie. And then that run of three games where we lost, conceded three goals each game. I mean, they did one better on Hinch, didn't they? Because they didn't concede four.
Well, you know, losing against Taunton, who were a team pathetic all season.
Well, who hardly played and had to catch up in the last two weeks.
I think in the week they played us, I think they'd played three or four games in that week before.
Do you know what the irony about that is again? I remember last season Hinch was saying, if it hadn't been for that bloody Taunton equaliser when we played them away last season, we would have made the... avoided the eliminators this season. If we hadn't lost to them, we would have been in second place or conceded one more goal. If it had been 2-1, we'd have been second. Do you know what I mean? So
it's fine margins in the end of it, but you know, look, we're in a semi-final.
Yeah.
And like I said, I didn't see it happening at all.
Well, I thought, you know, so we played that game against Taunton, and I thought, seeing how Taunton now relegated, obviously, I thought that was going to turn the season around. Taunton, because they hadn't played for, I think, about 6 weeks, had they?
Yeah, but also did a lot of their players left, didn't they? Because they didn't get paid, so it was all like students and young players and academy players, I think. And they came here, and you wouldn't say they were in trouble.
Good.
I thought they were good.
Yeah,
on the night.
Better than us on the day.
And that showed me the 3-1. I thought that might turn their season around. And then we thought, oh, just a blip. You know, the management team getting into a new routine, everything like that. Then Farnborough, 3-2 loss as well, wasn't it? You know, and
that was a tough game. They were. Physical, hard team.
We saw they just missed out on the playoffs. They literally just missed out on the playoffs, which is unfortunate for them. Well, maybe lucky for us. But
I think there's one player that made them tick. Remember, it was that Aaron Cool, who's there on loan from Dorking. I thought he made them tick. He did everything. He bossed the midfield. I think that was one of the reasons they won.
And then Chippenham, 3-1 away. Horrible, horrible loss. You were at that game, weren't you, Spence? Were you there, Jack? I can't remember.
No, I wasn't.
What was that like?
Yeah, again, it was one of, it's just one of those games. Just nothing seemed to go our way. We couldn't defend set pieces. Goal from a corner, goal from a free kick, falls into the box. We just couldn't defend.
Yeah, I mean, I thought once I saw that result come in, I wasn't there, but I thought I think we're down to sixth or seventh then, weren't we? It was like, are we going to slip out of this playoffs after being there? Because I think we've been in the playoffs zone the whole season, haven't we? I'm not sure if I'm right or wrong with that. Pretty much. We may have slipped out of there for a little period of time, but I don't think it was much. But it's crazy to think, like, you know, how quickly this league can change as well. Like, we were, like, you know, second. And, you know, you look at that. You beat Chelmsford away. You win those last three games. You won the two before. We'd have been champions. You know, but it's always if buts. But I genuinely thought after that Chippenham game, it might not. We'll be obviously safe, but I thought the season might be, you know, we might just hit the eliminators, or we might just be mid-table by the end of it.
Well, I think we're all, you know, I mentioned the defending against Chippenham, but, you know, I think we're all in a position thinking, oh, Aaron's coming in, he's going to sort the defence, and we'll tighten up the defence, and then we're conceding goals left, right, and centre.
But then we're missing the guy that's our manager in the back of our defence right now, aren't we?
Yeah, but, you know, Aaron's been out for a long time. He hasn't played most of the season, so it's one of these things. I think, you know, if a new manager comes in, either straight away it's the new manager effect and they start winning and the results go your way, or it takes a bit of time. And I think in our case it just took a bit of time.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you could look at the turning point, and it is the turning point. I mean, the amazing day we had when TNT Sports came down to film the Bath game. Well, the result was 2-2. I don't think it was a poor match. I think we missed chances to win that game quite significantly, from what I remember.
I think that was a really good game for a 2-2 draw. And I think if either team had... Well, yeah, of course I wanted to win it, but if either team had won on that day, I think it was a bit unfair towards the other team.
There was a lot of quality in that game. It was a good advert for National League football. Yeah.
For the neutral support, I think it was one of the best games I've seen.
Yeah.
And, you couldn't watch.
Danny Cashman turned it on with a couple of absolutely stunning goals.
Hello, Summer's here. Hello, Danny's here. Hopefully not. But I think that was the turning point. Because it was, because we haven't lost since then. We literally haven't lost the game since then, and we played amazingly. What do you think it was? Or do you think it was just finally things got to click? Because the following week, we thrashed Havant 5-1.
Yeah, but that doesn't say a lot, does it?
Didn't we work out? I think Callum Keeney, bless him, has conceded with his team since he's left Worthing. Against Worthing, I think he's conceded 16 and scored 2. Not him personally, but his teams. I think we've thrashed absolutely every team that Callum Keeney has gone to.
To be absolutely fair to Havant, they had quite a good spell in the first half. In the first half, you might even argue they were a better team.
Well, we scored early on, didn't we? Yeah. And then after that,
it was mainly Havant who had control of the game.
That wasn't there that day, unfortunately.
No, you're at that horrible club in Red, a few miles down the road, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Southampton. It's a shame, because I remember you said it would have been good if that would be a 12-15 kickoff or something, and you could have got here in the second half, maybe. Yeah. But that was a great game. I mean, I think we turned it on, and Ollie... Now, I was going to ask a question. Yeah, we'll have him on next month, because he won WFCSA Supporters Player of the Season. But Ollie was pointing at his badge and then doing a telephone call when he scored both goals. Now, we've quite... tried to digest this, and we said, what does that mean? What does that mean? Point at the badge on his shorts and do a telephone call. Is it Worthing, call me, new contract? Or is it, I'm a Worthing player now, call me? What would you see from that? Because he's going to be in demand. The club are going to have to fight tooth and nail to keep that bloke, no matter what league we're in next season.
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about contracts, etc. But do we have to tooth and nail? I don't know. Look, yes, I want to keep him, regardless of what league we're in. But the other hand, if he can go and better himself, play Copa League or whatever, go full-time professional, good luck to him. You know, he deserves it. But at the end of the day, there's only one person who knows what's going on or what he wants. That's Ollie. And I saw some comments online somewhere that he was going to a certain club, but also I know he's got his day job, which he enjoys. So, you know, There's only one person. The only thing I did know was he signed with an agency, and then he's hurt his hand. His hand is in a bandage.
That means he can't sign anyone.
No, he's not able to sign a contract. Was it the weight of the gold pen?
When it comes to celebrations, we all know Ollie's a wind-up merchant anyway, don't we?
He is, but, you know, look, there's only one person who can answer the question, what it meant. It's Ollie Pearce himself.
And we're not going to know. We're not going to know because, you know, if the unthinkable happens and we get promoted into National League, which it's going to be an interesting thing because are we quite ready to take that step up yet? Because I think some of the players, a lot of the players will be seeing where we're playing next season. That'll be one of the problems the club probably having right now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, like depending obviously what level we're playing at, it's going to depend a lot on what kind of players and squad we've got. So first of all, are the players we've got the players who are good enough to go up? But then also, you've got personal commitments from players who do have jobs and they're going to be able to commit to travelling nationwide.
But also the big question is, who will be the manager?
Yeah.
You know, and then I think that will determine a lot. It's a chicken and the egg, isn't it? Do we have the players? And then the manager first, and then he decides on his players.
Because I think whatever happens, we need to get that manager, if it hasn't already been done, it needs to be sorted, sort of, I'd say, by end of May, beginning of June, to plan for the new season. Because you'd want a full pre-season, you'd want a full, you know, opportunity to sign players and get a squad in place and his mentality into the squad by the time pre-season starts, because pre-season will be starting sort of mid-June again, won't it?
Well, haven't we got a manager at the moment who's unbeaten in six?
And this is it. But then again, does Aaron Racine want the job and can he take the job? I'd happily keep with Aaron, but does he want it? This is the problem.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, there's Jacko in his insight, so he's not going to leak to the whole world.
No, it's you know, it's... I believe if we get promoted to National League, we should get a manager with National League or League 2 experience. And I think Aaron said that actually to me, that Hinch always said, if you want to go to a certain level, you need to look to somebody from above that level to lead you there. And I think, yeah, it would be a bit unfair, but it's a business in the end of the day.
So you, and this is a podcast, it's a fans podcast, we have no insider knowledge at all. You hear rumours, but would you say you think if we stayed in the National League South, you wouldn't be surprised if Aaron maybe stayed on as manager, but if we got promoted, you might see a different person that dug out next season. Is that your mentality, your behind your thinking, would you say?
Yeah, I think if we don't get up, I like to see Aaron, but also Buddy and Dean, because I think the two good characters to have around the club. I heard a lot of positive things about Dean. Don't forget he's got a wealth of experience as a professional footballer. Is it 500 professional games? Won the league.
Got patches as well,
if we go up, yeah, I like to see somebody who has managed at that level, but that doesn't mean we can't have Aaron, Dean and Buddy still around the club for the get, you know, to as a contingency plan.
As we said, he's unbeaten in six, well, seven actually, if you include Bath, 1-6 in a row, drawn seven. Ollie Pearce has scored 40 league goals, which is going to put him in more in Dubai. It's a shame he's not contracted for about 5 years for us, because even if he does leave, we'll get millions for him at that rate. 2-1 away at Dartford for that rescheduled game. I heard that was quite a tough game. Were either of you two there? That was a week night, wasn't it? A Tuesday night, wasn't it?
I did go. I did. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and how was that one?
I love the stadium.
It's a nice little stadium.
I can't believe it.
How have they gone from promotion hopefuls last year to relegation, literally? And you look, you can say again, it's like Chesham. They're literally holding on to dear life. They haven't beaten Horsham on the weeknight just gone on Tuesday. They would have been pretty much begging for other results to go their way, but it's all in their hands now. It's just crazy how teams can change from one year to next. And that's, I think, what we've put the naysayers to bed this year, because they think, oh, first season bounce, we're in playoffs, but we finished higher than we did last year. It shows how well the clubs run, even when we face adversity with Hinch leaving.
Yeah, I just wrecked my brains about the Dartford game. There's not a lot I can remember about it.
Just a nice wooden stadium like IKEA. Do you think they got offcuts from IKEA down the road in Thurrock?
Maybe. It was a win.
2-1, yeah.
And I can't even remember who scored.
Probably Ollie.
but, you know, yeah, it was a Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. Then we went on 4-2 away win at St Albans. You were there. You missed, I think. Weren't you clearing at the drink for the bar, Spence? And they scored within. And then they equalised. Didn't you miss the first two? Or were you like, what?
Missed the first two goals. Literally, they had an outdoor bar that was a container. And they hadn't kicked off by the time I was one side of the container. And by the time I'd emerged the other side of the container, it was 1-1.
And
crazy game of football.
I was listening to it, and in the first half, I don't think
there was a single tackle made. It was like watching a basketball match with a ball just going end to end.
Well, it happened for the second goal as well, didn't it? We scored, and then they scored seconds after again. I mean, I've noticed, if you haven't seen on social media, Worthing have started doing bench cam, which is quite good.
Yeah, it's really
good. I quite like that, because you can see the reactions, and you could just tell it like that. This is why they see through sometimes the eyes of a fan, the eyes of a manager, the same. All our eyes were collectively rolled up into our heads, like when they conceded straight away. And you can see that from the bench. But then we obviously went on to cement that win. And a very good performance, Spencer.
Yeah, great.
Great performance. It was great free kick.
But I think the last couple of...
Sprung.
Yeah. I think we got more professional in our performances. You know, if we go behind... The heads don't drop, we keep going.
Yeah. And we went into the last game, home game against Western Supermare's weekend, or as Mattia says, Western Supermare. It makes me laugh. But what a way to finish the season. I mean, we conceded quite early on, completely against the run of play, but whereas it may be teams in the past who've seen the heads drop a bit, and you know.
That's what I mean. I think we've got more professional.
And is this Aaron and Dean and Buddy installing some new thought processes and new tactician? Because we often said, you know, we'll never speak ill of Hinch. We'll never, you know, say. But sometimes we thought that he only seemed to have one tactic at times. It was just when it gets in, there was no backup tactic. Whereas I'm seeing now, we've got to go behind and we're still attacking and we get the rewards.
I think sometimes a change is as good as a rest, isn't it? And like, you know, nothing, you know, Hinch did a fantastic job, but sometimes a change is needed and it happened.
But forgetting Spencer just pointed on the iPad, I got it listed out. I can't believe I forgot about it. We spoiled Yeovil's promotion party.
I just wanted to talk about it.
It was
a brilliant day.
And it's like one of the fans I saw on Twitter put it, and yeah, he's a Brighton fan, I'm being a Charlton fan. I've been to Yeovil 10 or so years ago, either in the Championship or League One, and we're facing them in the National League South as a Worthing fan, you know, my local team, and we win 3-1 on the day they should have completely, and then all their fans were getting so aggy.
But we turned up, we're in seats we didn't want, in a corner with no facilities.
Is there no facilities?
Well, we had a little tea bar that had run out by anything by half time.
Brilliant.
And then it was just like, put up, shut up, and we, you know, announcements being made over the PA before the game that there would be no trophy presentation after the game.
Then it wasn't needed, was it?
And it was just like, we've got to win this. And it was an absolutely brilliant ball. And then the fact as well that the board went up at the end of the game for like 4 minutes of added time. And then the big scoreboard said 7, as if to try and kid the referee, there was 7 minutes. They had a goal disallowed in injury time. They went nuts. And while they're losing their heads, we just run down the other end of the pitch and scored. Ollie with a brilliant goal. And it was absolutely crazy.
But do you think they just were too cocky that day and they thought they were easily walking?
I don't think they were cocky that day. I wasn't there. But they looked the runaway leaders. They were going to, you know, the way it looked, they're going to finish the league, they win the league in February. The way it was looking,
they should have done.
And then suddenly they had a really bad patch of form. And I think, you know, again, we got in our strides, you know. And then against Yeovil, yeah, why not?
Yeah, they look like a team who were too used to getting their own way this season, and they didn't get their own way, and they didn't like it.
Well, one thing I would have liked Pete to have been here for, because he actually ended up leaving the commentary box, because, as we always says, and he always says on Rebel Yell, that it's a Worthing commentary service. It's not biased, You know, he's not, he'll commentate as he can, but it's not going to be favourable to the other team. And I think when we went 1-0 up, he sort of celebrated. Like, not over the top, because he'd never do it, but, you know, he just went, yes.
I was listening, I think he was quite...
Over the top.
He was enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic, yeah.
But it's a good point you made.
Well, thank God I wasn't in there. That's what I used to be like.
Yeah, but last night I was watching the Maidstone game, and it was on National League TV, but with commentary from Maidstone. And the guy said, look, apparently people are complaining, they were very biased, but said they're the Maidstone, you know, radio. So they've got to be more biased towards Maidstone.
Because if people don't realise National League TV take the home team's feed if they have commentary.
They do.
But Sam, who does the analysis and whatever, he got thrown out of the media area as well.
at half time.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't really understand, like, you know, it's almost like we're too big to be here, sort of that big boy mentality, like you're little measly Worthing from down the coast and you know you shouldn't be here, like, you know, in Yeovil's ground. It's a bit of a pathetic mentality. You think, just, you know, fair enough, turn around and go, fair enough, you're a better team, you know, you beat us.
But there were a few clubs in the league this year, like, they thought they were bigger than
Torquay was the famous one of it.
Torquay.
Yeah. They escaped clutching their bums, really, didn't they?
Because they had a 10-point deduction as well, which doesn't help.
But, you know.
Still nowhere near going up.
No, they were not. But I just feel sorry for the genuine fans.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, it kind of frustrates me when clubs have that mentality. Like, you know, there's only certain areas that you can. I mean, yes, Yeovil would have been, you know, you listen to, like, professional football clubs' commentary services. Even they're slightly biased, you know, because obviously you're not going to be like, the only time you're going to get a non-biased commentary if it is on TNT Sports. Mm. Or if it is, I mean, to be fair.
Not really.
Well, even if you listen to BBC local radio, it's all bias towards whatever.
But what I mean is TNT Sports will be, when they commentate versus Worthing versus Bath, it would have been a sort of team. But because it was a home game, I saw quite a lot of Bath fans were getting a bit aggy on social media because it seemed to be favouring Worthing. It's like, but it's at our home ground. Yeah, it would have been the other way round if it had been a Bath ground. So you can't sit there and get annoyed at your away commentator.
Yeah, but I think it comes to something I don't like in general. It's about, this club shouldn't be at this level. Well, why not? You're here for a reason. You know, you got relegated, or you got relegated again. You know, you could say, oh, but we are a League Two club. No, you're not. You're playing National League South, you know.
So I've settled along, mate.
And it's just, you'd only, how to say this, you know, nobody, you don't get it on merit. You need to earn it to be where you are.
I completely agree. It's like I say, it's a podcast about Worthing Football Club, but as you all know, my boyhood team is Charlton Athletic. We were in the Premier League when I started watching football. We're now down in League
Glory
One.
Glory Hunter.
Close, yeah. Glory Hunter, indeed. Close to nearly getting relegated to League Two. But, you know, I stuck by them and supported them. But some people say we're too big for this. And why? Just, yeah, we've got a nice stadium because it was built during the Premier League days. You know, yeah, we've got great facilities, but doesn't matter. You know, you see how many teams have gone down to the National League and even further south. And you look, Yeovil, Taunton. You know, Taunton nearly got promoted to the League Two a couple of years ago, and now they're literally near the bottom of the National League South, luckily escaping. Then you've got Havant were in the National League not that long ago, you know, and now they're going to be down in the Isthmian,
well,
you know.
You've got teams like Bury who have completely gone altogether.
Yeah. And I think we should be really lucky, you know. We are. We should be very happy we do really well.
Well, we'll talk about towards the end. We'll talk after we've spoken to managers and stuff, and we'll talk about some developments around the club since we've last been on air on the podcast. But let's just go back to what we're talking about first, is the Maidstone we've got in the semi-final of the National League South playoffs. How excited are you for it? Because, I mean, I wish it wasn't Maidstone. I wish it was Averley, but then do I wish it was Averley because they were in form?
Well,
we are one of the informed teams at the moment.
It's 5-1.
It was, but I kept saying to Jack, my son, I said, look, anybody who's in the Players Eliminators, we can win them, but we easily lose them as well. Any of the four clubs who were there, you know, it's a one game, isn't it?
But is Michael Clarke going to come back and haunt us?
He came on last night as a sub, and I watched the game, and I think he made a bit of a difference. And of course, it was Mo Farah who scored the second one for us. It was a very soft goal, I thought.
Yeah, I saw it. It just sort of deflect.
But, you know.
Well, Mo Farah scored that last minute winner. It sent Mason. I mean, at half time, Averley were one up. And, you know, you thought, oh, bloody hell, this is going to possibly go the other way.
At home with a sellout crowd behind us.
You know, just Averley, they were favourite to go down.
Yeah.
Were
we favourite to go down last year? I can't remember. We wouldn't have been up where we finished.
I don't think we were.
I've got a feeling we weren't. Quite good odds.
Well, the odds were quite good last season. But, you know, yeah, Maidstone at home. You know, look, anything can happen.
Well, as I said, we're going in as one of the informed teams. You know, we're unbeaten in seven. It's sold out, as we say, at Woodside, I mean, which has never happened. I mean, that's amazing. And it will be a complete sellout because Maidstone, I think, 480 tickets they're getting. I think we got confirmed by the club tonight. 480 tickets Maidstone are getting. They will go.
They will go.
I mean, just hopefully the rain will go away as well, because I know there's some forecast. But let's sit down and talk to Aaron Racine and the management team and speak to them about their thoughts about the last couple of months and their first few in management and their preparations for one of the biggest games, or the biggest game ever, Worthing have played.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
My pleasure to announce the full management squad have turned up tonight. So Aaron, Buddy, Dean, welcome to the Rebel Yell podcast. And will you tell me off for calling you Gaffer now? Because you did. I did joke with you in that podcast we sent, and I said one day we're going to be able to call you Gaffer. I didn't think it'd be so soon, Aaron.
Yeah, I don't like the word Gaffer, but... yeah, we spoke about it on the last podcast, yeah, didn't we?
You told me to shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said, oh, imagine a world where Hinch left and then would you step in or something? And I was like, that's far too soon.
You're trying to blame me now?
It's almost like we knew something.
Even in my head, I was thinking, obviously, about coaching and management, but not this early. But obviously, yeah, it's happened.
So I think, you know, you've done the interviews for Worthing FC TV. We've watched them. Let's just quickly touch on here. So it was quite a whirlwind start, was it? Like, you know, how did it all come about, really? Like, you know, because it wasn't that long before, as we said, that we interviewed you and you sort of said you were retiring and, you know, going to coaching and stuff, but next thing you know, you're a manager. Buddy, you've left Burgess Hill. Was that coincidental? Did you know about that? Because you left on the Friday, didn't you?
And left on the Thursday, yeah, after training.
But that was completely coincidental.
Yeah, just literally went training, didn't even tell my wife, come home, said
What, you didn't tell your wife you went training?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll try and tell her. Well, I wasn't even training. She, I come home and just said, look, I've just packed it in. Didn't want to do it. Sort of.
Just had enough.
Didn't want to do it. Just probably wasn't at the right place. So, I'll never have my boots up, but
no,
it's one of them where I just felt like at the time I didn't want to play anymore. So, yeah, just walked and then, yeah, on Monday midday, got a call from Nath saying that Hinch obviously
was going
over the weekend and would I step in with these two guys, and obviously initial thoughts were yes straight away, but then obviously I had to have a phone call.
Did you have to tell the wife that?
No, made sure she was my first phone call. It was an obvious choice. To
you think now, a nice long break from football and it's 3 days.
Yeah, but
it's always what happens, isn't it? Normally, when
there's nothing you can do about it. It's an opportunity you couldn't really turn down. Mm. Not a lot of people get an opportunity to do this, and obviously, I was lucky enough to be asked. So,
well, I remember always messaging you saying like you said you'll be back one day in some capacity, weren't you? And again, probably like Aaron, you didn't realise it would be that soon in the capacity now, or did you?
No, but like I say, it's just an opportunity. You don't, I'm at that stage probably where I should really hang them up, but. The stubbornness of me, like these boys are
you stubborn. What?
Like they're when the numbers are odd, there I'm literally even tonight, just doing a little bit, and my body's saying
surprise
to me, no.
On Sunday, surprise substitute.
My body's saying no, but I can't help it. And when just enjoy playing football.
So the experience at Burgess Hill, what was it like? Obviously, a couple of steps below where Worthing were when you left the club, in good form they were. How was that experience for you? Obviously, recognising with Coxie as the manager there, like what was the whole experience like there?
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, I've been there before.
Yeah, of course.
And it's a good club. It's a good supported Sussex club. But yeah, it was just obviously a different regime. Managers got changed. Obviously, Coxie left midway. New manager come in. The under-18s manager, and who's a good guy. But yeah, it just didn't fit in with the way I wanted to, obviously, at an age where I am, I want to play. And he was looking to get the younger players in, which is, you know, up to him. And he went that way. And then, like I say, I just wasn't enjoying it. And I'm one of them people, I need to enjoy it.
And one question, was your last appearance a red card sending off, wasn't it, for the club?
It was, yeah. My last couple of appearances for both clubs. My last appearance for Worthing was missing a penalty in the Sussex Senior Cup semi-final.
My last
appearance with Burgess Hill was getting sent off, but it was rescinded.
Oh, was it? Is that why you were allowed to be on the touchline? Yeah.
It was rescinded the next day.
Out of interest, if that had stood, would you have been out? Is there any transfer of it, like from going into like playing to management? Would you have had to stay that ban, or would you not even know? It's weird. No.
Obviously, it was. You
could be a history maker there.
So yeah, so my last appearances for clubs. Let's not talk about it.
No, there we go. Well, let's Dean, if you pass the mic over to Dean. So how did it come about with you, mate? Because we know we've heard you've sort of been around the coaching game as well. Like you played for the club, and am I right, you went back to Southampton in some capacity?
Yes, so I've been working for Southampton, just the media side of the game.
Yeah.
So co-commentating on their games, which has been great, good experience. But same as these guys, got a call from Naif. But I've been in here with working in the 18s, which was brilliant. So
yeah.
Coaching was always something I wanted to do, but hadn't for many reasons. But October last year, came in to work with the 18s. And then, it was just a phone call from Nath to be in.
Yeah, because I think we could say, guys, like when you signed for the club as a player all those years ago before COVID, everyone was really excited by it. Because obviously, in your name, you know, everything like that, coming to a club at Worthing, helping them try and get that promotion. And we never saw you the chance to play. And then you come back.
It was probably. I was at a stage in my career, I'm not sure it would have been, too exciting.
Well, you know, we can never answer that question. But how have you found being at the club so far? Obviously, you were coaching since October of the 18s, but in the capacity you're doing now with the men's first team, how have you found it?
Loved it. Yeah, I loved it. It's been great working with these guys again. And the players have been brilliant. The club's good. It's a really well-run club, family club. We've had some challenges.
Yeah.
I think we're learning very quickly, which you need to do.
Yeah.
But it's something that we've really enjoyed, and it's always nice when you're winning football matches as well, which is good.
Well, it is. We're going to touch on it, I think, because obviously one of the words, I think, famous words we use this season in the podcast is roller coaster. We use it with Hinch. This season has been, you know, Aaron, you were in the beginning. You can see how up and down it's been with results and conceding goals. There's been. So your first game would have been Dartford, and that was postponed. Was it weather? I think weather related postponement.
Well, we're on pitch,
isn't it? Chelmsford away, what a way to sort of start your sort of coaching management careers with Worthing, and for Wadham to score that absolute, I mean, I still can't believe that went in. Like that's one of the best ever goals I've ever seen. I mean, when that happened, because that was a really good game, that was an end-to-end, you know, two top teams, and I'm sure you can see that. Hopefully we don't have to face them away there if we get to any sort of final, because I would not like to go there for a final. But when that goal went in, what were your sort of, we saw it on the cameras and stuff from the side, but what were your ultimate reactions? Do you think, oh my God, this is going to be?
Well, we talked, Jack, that, wasn't we? the training session before. That's what we'd worked on, like half volleys. That was the first thing we did. Yeah. So, we'll take credit for that.
Nice. Yeah, no, that was obviously, it was a great way to obviously start our sort of tenure working at the club, but I think the overall performance, I think we were more obviously pleased about in terms of it was such a hard opposition to be a first game for us. And the way the boys just sort of defended. And I think all we really wanted was from them to have a reaction to the situation at the club. Because I think when that happens at a club and the manager leaves, especially someone who's been there for so long, had such a good impact, people put targets on your back and they think you're there for the taking. So the idea first off was to sort of start the game like seriously fast and just sort of try and get that target off our back. And then straight away, a team like them, you know, you've got to defend well, which we did unbelievably well. And I think we deserved that. It wasn't obviously a lucky goal. There's a lot of skill to it. And, you know, the way Jack plays, he probably could do that again. He's that sort of player. But you have that little bit of luck because it was quite end-to-end towards the end. They could have got a couple of goals. We could have scored a couple of goals. And I think the way we played that game and defended, I think we earned that result.
Definitely. And then we went on to, obviously, three losses on the trot. You know, got to talk about loss to Taunton, which we were saying before we interviewed before, that might reinvigorate their season, but now they're relegated. They've obviously had all those issues with their pitch. 3-2 to Farnborough, a very tough game, and then the Chippenham game. Three in a row, you know, you've gone from the high of Wadham scoring that goal to, like, the first, like, how, as a three, how do you sort of deal with that? Because obviously you've experienced losses as players, of course, but from the other side of the pitch, on the touchline, you're new in the role, you think, oh God, you know, they often say about this management bounce, like new manager bounce and everything. How did you deal with that and, like, you know, get yourself together? Because we'll go on to what happened next, as we all know.
I think for me personally, it was a case of just, we were always analysing what was going wrong. And we thought we had an idea on what was going wrong. So it was a case of just working on it, implementing it and trying to make it work in training and going forward. Obviously, it didn't happen as quickly as we'd liked, but I think we've been around the game long enough where it's the old saying, never get too high, never get too low.
Yeah.
So you win against Chelmsford, yeah, brilliant. Doesn't really mean much, it's one game. Okay, you lose three on the bounce, it's not good, but it's not the be-all and end-all. And again, the most recent results at the moment, I think, what, six or seven out of seven, whatever it is, seven undefeated. Again, it's good, but it's, again, it's not something to get too excited about. Yeah, that's football. I mean, you look at Western, I looked at their results when we were playing them, and they went, I think, a month with back-to-back wins, four or five wins, and they're like a mid-table team at the moment. So, yeah, it just relates back to the saying, never get too high, never get too low in situations. We were in there analysing every game, looking at what was right, what was going right and what was going wrong. And I think you were emphasised quite a lot, Dino, about just sticking to our beliefs. Do we believe this is the right way to play? Do we believe this is an effective way to play to get results going forward? We all agreed it was. Like, we didn't think the performances were bad, but the results obviously were going against us.
Yeah.
So performances are good. Stats were looking all right. Well, let's stick to it then. And hopefully the boys, we're trying to show them clips and do sessions where they can have a bit of belief in the process rather than just the end results. And like I said, fortunately it's paid off.
Yeah, that turning point was the Bath game. You know, with the TNT cameras, that's when the sort of the luck changed and, you know, we haven't lost since then. Was the preparation any different for that game, knowing that the TV cameras, I'm sure it probably wasn't, but, you know, obviously you had this big sort of showcase scenario where we're like one of the best like games on TV that weekend. And as we've said, it was a real good advert for non-league football.
No, preparation didn't change at all. Obviously, it does a little bit with what the setup here and stuff and fans and the cameras and stuff. But for us, it was just exactly the same. But going back onto like the results, it's easily forgotten about. Like I said, these seven wins or seven undefeated or whatever it is. I don't even know because I don't even think. I personally, for me, just take it game by game.
Yeah,
and that's what we've got to do. And now we're in the playoffs, it's exactly the same. You can't think about Bank Holiday Monday. You've got to think about this Sunday and what we've got to come up against Maidstone. So for me personally, it's just game by game and sort of like the prep side is always the same.
So when it comes to the prep and sort of like Maidstone, so how tricky is it for you not knowing until Wednesday evening who you're going to be playing? Does that change things?
Not really. We obviously went and watched the game last night, all three of us. And we've got Bards and all the guys behind the scenes that, you know, do brilliant work with all the stats and the analysis of all of it. But so our prep is exactly the same. We get the best sort of prep work in sent to us. We obviously look at that, and obviously then we can prepare for who we've got.
So from a management point of view, guys, so would you say avoiding the eliminators was a positive, or would you have liked to sort of, obviously it is a positive in terms of getting to semi, but would you have liked to keep the momentum going by having a game, or do you think the preparation's better? Obviously it's different from not having that, but Hinch said last season he wanted to go one better and avoid, you know, the eliminators, which we have, and it's given us an extra time to train. Personally, from your side, is it, you know, getting to those semi-final straightaways, was that the ultimate goal?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I know so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were set a target, weren't we, when we came in, of what the club wanted from Nave, from Barry, from the owners. And repeating what you say, they wanted to finish third place, second if possible. I think it was always going to be difficult to catch Yeovil, of course, massive club. So yeah, look, we're pleased.
Yeah.
Could we, would have been better to finish second? Who knows? You know, who knows?
We're screaming at them to get one.
Yeah,
of the goal
and, you know, who knows? Yeah. But yeah. I think going back to everything that we discussed, I think you have to have faith in what you do.
Mm.
And we always had faith in what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
And those three losses were probably the best thing that happened to us three because we had to learn very quickly and we had to look at it. Now, if we'd won those three, would we have then gone seven unbeaten and won the last six? I'm not sure we would have done.
Mm.
So the players have been brilliant, really, really good, because it would have been easy for them to down tools and just be, okay, well, look, the manager's not here anymore. He'd been here such a long time and implemented so much. And I think one of the biggest things we did was not try and change too much and just tweak a few things, adapt to a few things. But are we pleased we missed the eliminators? Of course. It was nice. It was nice going to watch Maidstone last night and think, actually, look, this is not us. And gives a bit more time to prepare and be ready for the game on Sunday. So, yeah, look, we're looking forward to it. It will be what will be. We'll prepare as best as we possibly can, get the players ready, and then football will take over.
Yeah, well, I guess, as you say, it's like it's just another game on Sunday. It means a lot to everyone around the club, as we know. But I guess taking the pressure out of it, you just treat it like any other game.
Do you know what? I'm going to go, it's not just any other game.
No, of course.
No, I think I think we can feel that.
Mm.
And I think it's good for the players to maybe just go out and approach it in the manner they can. But I think it's also quite healthy to be quite honest and truthful about it, that it's an important game for everyone.
I think it's not only the players, I think it's the whole town. Because obviously the tickets went on sale, sold out very quickly. And if you look at social media now, it's people saying, anybody got a spare ticket? I forgot to buy a ticket. I need an extra ticket. I've never seen it with Worthing that people are fighting for tickets almost. It's almost like you could stand outside a gate and sell your ticket for lots of money on Sunday. If you do, you'd be mad before you say anything. But yeah, I think it's just lifting the whole town.
Well, it's great. It's great to hear. I mean, it's lovely to be a part of that. Well, a small part of it or whatever part we play. But
I think the challenge is to try and all of us to approach it as it is, as we normally would. Mm. Can we implement our game plan? And the boys are going to be emotional. Of course, it's going to be driven. It's going to be a big game, big crowd. It's an important game. But if we can continue to do what we've done, then we give ourselves a really good opportunity.
Do you think Maidstone might have a little advantage because of the FA Cup run they had this season? You know, playing Coventry, etc. They a bit more used to the bigger occasion.
Yeah, you could say that. You could say it, and you could flip it and say they've had more games throughout the season, so fatigue. But again, it's just, I think these types of games, they're not potluck, but it is just on the day, isn't it? Yeah. It's just on the day what team does sort of turn up, what team does soak up the pressure. And just reiterating what Dean said there, like it is a big game, but I think the hardest thing will be for us is to not implement the way we play and our own identity, and not let not necessarily the fear, maybe the anxiousness and the nerves of the game change how we play, and players to be fearful to maybe get on the ball or defend or whatever it is. I think that's a big message, and they have to understand that whatever feelings they have is normal and they're good feelings. They can't think of it as like negative feelings. They're nervous to do things. This is the sort of thing they need to soak up. They're all very young, so they'll probably come across these games later in their career anyway. So they should probably get used to it.
Well, I think one thing we've noticed, and we said about it in the intro to the podcast, was when we've got a goal behind earlier in the season, as from fans' point of view, sometimes saw players' head drop. Sometimes you think, we ain't getting back from this, even though it might be only 5-10 minutes into game. Whereas we've obviously gone behind a couple of times since you guys have come in, we've noticed a different
attitude.
Yeah, attitude. And it's really good to see. And, you know, we're not saying anything against Hinch's style of play, because you know what he brought to the club and what he did. But it's really nice and refreshing to see that there's obviously things that you're implementing as a team that meant the guys don't drop their heads. And, you know, we're not as worried now as if we do go a goal behind. Because, you know, that goal on Saturday against Weston, when they scored really quite a good goal from the edge of the area, you know, times before we might have seen the heads drop and then we're up against it. But have you found, that you've implemented that yourselves, or is it just the mentality of the boys that, you know, they're so close to something now, they're like, right, we're not letting this get away after last year? Because you were in the final, like, were you in the final, the semi-final, I've caught semi-final last year, how disappointing that day was, you know, the players, Hinch said, we just didn't seem to turn up for the game. So I guess there's that willingness as well.
I think like, going back to having the belief, or having them have the belief in that, what they do and how we're trying to implement. I think that's the biggest thing. And especially, I remember noticing it a little bit at Dartford, but when you do go a goal behind, it's not, you don't have to change anything. Like the Worthing team here at the moment, they control games, they create chances more than most teams in this league and or all of them. So our goal record speaks for itself. So they need to understand, and this is the message we're trying to get across, and then trying to get them to believe that how they're playing and the things we're trying to add to it, you're going to create chances to score goals. Okay, you go a goal behind, it's not ideal. But if you stick to the principles and just keep playing the game, don't get emotionally attached to score lines and things that happen on the pitch in the moment, you're going to create chances and score goals. Like people are saying at the weekend, like, oh, there's a fan shouted on, oh, we need one more goal to get second. And then Ollie come
I
running.
You weren't, Spence.
And then Ollie come running over and he said the same thing, I think, 5 minutes before. And I think they said, should we go for it? Whatever it was. And it's like, well, I don't think we need to change anything. We're a team that's going to create chances. And even in that moment, there wasn't a message on saying, let's go for it. And then I think when I got that message from a fan, must have been like 20 minutes left, 15 minutes left, I think we had like two or three clear cut opportunities.
Yeah.
There was no point trying to chase something and go against everything we've been trying to do, because what we're trying to do is score goals. So if we stick to our principles, there's a chance we're going to score a goal. And I think, again, going back to what you just said about, it's just having the belief that if they keep sticking to the way they play, they're going to create chances no matter what. Yeah. Just makes it a little bit harder with a goal behind.
And it does help, of course, you've got Ollie Pearce up front, who scores 40 goals for you.
Yeah, it's kind of helpful, isn't it?
And obviously you've got other players as well, but Ollie's been the difference for me this season.
Yeah.
Here's your one. I get frustrated with him still. I do, even in training, in like games, he frustrates the hell out of me. Obviously, I'll give him his pats on the back, and he has had a brilliant season. He's 40 goals, and how many did he get last year as well? You know, it's the consistency there. He's getting that little bit of consistency now, which he should do at the age he is. So for me, not too many pats on the back, because there's still chances on Saturday. He could have put away.
Yeah.
So you still got to remind him of that.
Yeah.
And he's still got to be looking to even better himself again.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. You know, I'm sure he will. I mean, to be called up to England, you know, and actually get on and almost make a difference in that game as well, just shows what a quality player he is. Going back to Sunday, you know, don't need to talk about how important it is for everyone. Has the preparation for you guys been different? Obviously, you said you went to Maidstone to watch a game yesterday, which you wouldn't normally be able to do, you know, in a normal week. For you guys personally, and, you know, set up, or has it just been a normal sort of training session, would you say?
Yeah, it was basically just is a normal session, but it's obviously looking at the way we want to play, obviously concentrating on us with the ball. We get the extra, obviously, the boys are coming in on Saturday, so we get that as well. So any extra little preparation we can get.
Just a light session on Saturday, is it going to be? So, yeah.
So any extra prep we can get is gold dust, really, obviously being part-time, you don't get the luxury of having the players in and, you know, prepping the whole week. So it gives us that extra day to get that extra bit of prepping.
I think just to finish the interview, what does it mean to you personally, all three of you, like one by one, to actually have got that goal? You know, as we said, you know, we lost the three on the trot. You know, it looked at some stages, honestly, that we might not make the playoffs at some stage, maybe hit the eliminators, you know. Any playoff game is going to like a cup game, isn't it? You know, anyone can do anyone in it. So what, Percy, does it mean to you to actually finally got that goal? We're in a semi-final on Sunday for the first time in your sort of coaching management careers.
Oh, so personally, for me, it's a fantastic achievement to do what we set out to do. But at the same time, again, I'm one of them which is like, it isn't finished yet. So yep. I'll be honest with you, not give it a second thought until that, after that game on Sunday, be what, if we win, if we lose, then it'll probably hit me.
Yeah.
But up till then, not really giving it a thought. Obviously for the club and for the fans, and I've been here since, obviously, what, six years now, same as Azza.
to see us progress and go all the way.
Yeah.
What we've done, and the players have been brilliant. Obviously, like I say, the players have been brilliant. All players through all them leagues.
Mm.
To see us actually put our stamp of football, the way we play, the style, what we want to do, and to hear other people talk about that is brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, so from where the club has started and where it's got to now, yeah, it's just being really proud of everyone at the club and the volunteers, you know, everyone, because it's all the same people. Everyone, that consistency of having everyone there Saturday, Tuesday, you see the same faces, and that's the great thing. Yeah. So for me, that's that.
Yeah, Baron.
Yeah, I think I said tonight in training about how it's been a great year for the club, and obviously the players that have played all season and getting the highest ever league position is obviously great. It really is. But like in terms of like since we've been in, we just said a minute ago, it would have been so easy for the boys just to sort of chuck the towel in, especially after the three losses, and hide behind the excuse, oh, we've lost our manager, he's been here 6 years and stuff, and these guys are coming, have no experience, whatever it is. And it would have been such a good reason for them to say, oh, well, we've done all right this year. And I think to come back from that, and this is like us three, this is all the other staff and all the players, to come back from three losses, because it's not just three losses for a team, it's three losses for a new coaching staff, who are clubs who's in a potentially a sticky situation because of it, to come back from that and then to go and do what we've done now, I think is something I'm more sort of proud of, to be a part of. Obviously, the overall season for me, I started as a player, then I stepped out and retired. So I've been a bit part player, so I've played a part a little bit, but I don't see me personally taking much responsibility in doing it. But just for our short tenure at the moment here, I think coming back from that moment, which I think would be quite... yeah, it's quite a proud part of what I've done, or we've done.
Yeah. I'm the same as these guys. I think if you could go back and the first day us three were here to where we are now, and maybe the improvements that we've made, I would say as coaches, as people, I think it's been the most pleasing thing, really. To be able to be accepted by the players has been great, because I think we've had to prove ourselves, which is completely fine, and I've enjoyed doing that. I've always enjoyed doing that, but just to be a part of something again, it's been brilliant. It's something I missed massively when I finished playing and didn't quite understand what I was missing, and it was that.
Brought the bug back, yeah.
Hugely. Yeah. But that's because of the people working with these guys, working with the players, working with people at the football club. So just that, being around good people has been great. But I think it's been enjoyable to see how far us three have come, really. How far the gaffer's come. You don't know who you call Gaffer, but
Gaffer.
It's the leader, which he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. So it's been good.
Well, thanks for the entertainment we've had over the last few weeks since you've been in charge. We can't say anything more. We know what we want to happen. I'm sure you want the same, but good luck. We'll be cheering for you every step of the way. And hopefully, well, I'm not even going to say it. We'll speak to you next month, yeah? We'll speak to you for the end of season podcast, and we're not going to say what could and couldn't happen. But good luck, guys, and thanks for coming to the podcast this evening.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers, mate.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Thanks to Aaron, Buddy and Dean for speaking to us. It's nice to have them on the podcast for the first time. And what a way to sort of welcome them to the Rebel Yell podcast after a sort of month and run they've had.
That's an unbelievable run, isn't it? You know, like you said.
But, you know, we talked about it in the intro to the podcast, in the introduction, the first opening bit. We said, like, you know, obviously, you know, it'd be unfair not to put Aaron and the team in the hat. If we don't sign them, does this mean another club could tempt them? Because they seem to be a good bunch of management and a management team.
I don't know.
Bognor Regis.
Buddy's working for a free.
Well, and Bognor. And Burgess Hill.
Yeah, he loves that.
I don't know.
Lansing.
I don't know.
It's hard, isn't it? Because you think, like, it's complete respect to them. It's no disrespect, like, you know, but I'm sure it's gone through the back of the head, and it's gone through many fans. So we're not saying they're not good enough for the National League, but I would be surprised if... I would personally, like you say, I'd be surprised if we got promoted and we weren't hiring another manager that's had experience at that level or higher, because they're all very new. it's almost a bit like that sort of Frank Lampard thing, isn't it? You know, he went to, we always knew he'd go and manage Chelsea, but was it too soon when he managed them and it didn't work out because he didn't have enough experience? You know, if he grafted a bit at the sort of lower level.
I don't think that would have made any difference to him. And, I'm a Chelsea fan. And I like Frank Lampard, but I think as a manager, he's not the greatest manager in the world.
Good players usually don't make good managers.
But Spencer, what do you think about, like, you know, we didn't touch on it, like, you know, in the opening bit with the management situation. What are your honest thoughts?
I'd stick because we've just done so well. And if anything, it's only getting better. They know the club inside out. They know the players inside out. You know, we've got the Worthing way of play, and we, you know, that's working for us. You know, you bring new manager in, new staff, then suddenly is it different style of play, different players, different.
But didn't
Barry said they want to have some of that sort of
same ilk, isn't it? Same style of play. But also the thing is though, we seem to forget one thing. Adam had his full time job as Worthing manager, you know, and I know definitely Aaron has got a normal job. Besides being a manager, I think Buddy has, and I think Dean.
You know, Buddy has, you see the fans all over Worthing.
Yeah. So for them, I think it will only work if we get a full time manager again.
So, Spencer, but that's my view. Would you fully expect them to be managers next season, no matter what league?
But we've said it.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. There you go. That's fair enough. So you expect it. I think I'm similar in lines to Jack. I think if we're in the National South, I would not be surprised if there are managers. I'd be a little bit more dubious if we're in the National. That's just a thought. And it's not a horrible thought because I love them all. You know, I think they've done great for the club, but many ifs and buts, but it's on the tip of the tongues.
But then again, you know, if we go up and they still be the managers, you know, let them see what they're worth. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
It's a weird situation, isn't it? Because obviously we've hit the playoffs again and we've missed the eliminators and we're in the semi-finals. But we've got such an open-ended question at the end, haven't we? It's like, if we get promoted, you literally do not know what's going to happen this summer.
That's football.
It is football. Yeah, no, it is.
You're right.
But what I mean is compared to last year when, but when we were with Hinch last year, no matter what, we knew unless someone came in, and I think people did come in for him last summer, we knew probably he was going to be here this season.
Yeah. But, you know, then if we go up, then the next question will be, is it going to be part-time, hybrid, full-time? There's so many unknowns at this time because we don't know what the result is going to be if I knew I put a bet on. But, you know, there's so many ifs and buts. Well, why not?
Well, so many ifs and buts, and we've got to play the semi-final yet. So let's wait and see. We'll discuss more of this in the end of season podcast in a few weeks' time. But moving on to the women's team, they've had a pretty decent run as of late. I think
they had a good season overall.
Yeah,
I think, you know, first time in this league, finished third. You know, I've been to quite a few home games, and the Spencer is. You know, and I don't know why people. I kept saying it before, I don't understand why people are coming to support it because the football you see is of a good standard.
It's really good football, really good games. We'll keep saying it. You know, they've had a fantastic season. You know, going up, nobody knew what to expect going up a level, and coached really well. Unfortunately, there's been two absolutely quality teams above in AFC Wimbledon and Norwich. They are, you know, class apart. But yeah, you know, in my book, we couldn't have done any better than finishing third, and that's what we've done.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been to a couple of the women's games this season. You two are like a women's experts now, because I know you spend a lot of the Sundays down here. John obviously said they were in it to win it this season. It's not going to quite, but they've confirmed third place, which is a fantastic achievement. AFC Wimbledon being the strongest team in the league, as we witnessed in the cup game and stuff, how quite pathetic their behaviour was, but that's our opinion. Not necessarily the clubs, and how bad that was, their celebrations when anything, but they've won the league, they're out of it now. It's like a bit like last year, as we said, when we won the league last year, the season before, who was the team that John wanted out of the league, and once they're out of the league, it should be asked to win. I can't remember what team was that.
I don't know who you mean, but I can't remember.
Well, it wasn't Actonians, was it? But, you know, great season. They've got one more game left against Cambridge City away. Coach, travel, Spencer, as you said, £10. But let's speak to John. We haven't spoken to him for a couple of months because, as we said, in February, after we recorded the podcast, there wasn't any games until March. So we had nothing to speak to. So over to you, John.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
John, welcome back to the Rebel Yell podcast. last time we spoke was in February. We had the cameras here with us.
Yeah.
And you didn't really play a game till March after that, so it wasn't really anything to talk about in the last podcast. So hence why we didn't speak to you. But since then, unbeaten in the league. Norwich, Actonians, Ashford and Wimbledon all draws. Wins against Cambridge and Hayward.
Yeah.
Happy?
Yeah. Well, it's actually 5 months since we lost the game.
Crazy, isn't it?
So few too many draws in that. That's obviously why we're not quite where we would like to have finished. But I don't think anyone catches anyway. So we're guaranteed third by the looks of it anyway.
Yeah, it's crazy to think when you're unbeaten in any league of football, no matter the men's, women's, youth, and you're not champion.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy, but it shows how competitive the league's been. Definitely. Has it taken you by surprise? Obviously, got one more game this weekend against Cambridge, or next weekend, this weekend?
Next weekend. Yeah,
last game of the season away. Yeah. They've got coach travel on for that, which will be good. Hopefully get a few supporters. We'll talk about, we'll get you back on for the end of season podcast to just sum up the season with you and Kelly and stuff like that. But since we last spoken, you know, do you think these draws are the difference between you possibly pushing for that promotion place and where you're sitting third at the moment? And you'll finish third, won't you?
We will. It's been, those were, although we played well, those were a little bit disappointing to get the draws and some narrow losses. But, you know, that's what makes you win the league, where you don't get those narrow draws or you don't, you know, lose by the odd goal. So in terms of how we've played, you know, we've still played well, but it was disappointing not to win some of those games. So that shows where the team are, really, I suppose.
Have any of the results, apart from those draws, surprised you in the last month? I mean, obviously keeping AFC Wimbledon to the 2-2, because obviously... Yeah. Did we lose to them in the cup and then the league, or did we draw to them in the cup then the league?
We lost them in the cup then and lost to them in the league.
League. So, and it was two on the bounce, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then to hold them, because they were a very strong team.
Very strong.
Obviously, we spoke about maybe some of their attitude and behaviours on the podcast that was in. But to hold them to 2-2 when they're not champions elect, that you must be really pleased with that, to be fair.
Yeah, and I think some, you know, at some points we were better than them. Some points they were better than us. We had opportunities to, you know, score. Yeah. Which was nice. So it wasn't just the ones we did score. We had several others. So as did they. So I think probably 2-2 was about right. But, you know, it's nice to be as good as the champions at very least.
And I guess you look to get another strong team out of the league like it was in the league below and hopefully push on that for next year.
Yeah.
I assume planning has already started for next season.
Yeah. So the squad's good. I think the biggest thing is, you know, it's been a few seasons now, so it's pretty simple in terms of pre-season. We try and stay at home, etc. But yeah, there's already some people asking us about what we're doing next season in terms of players coming in and things like that. So we'll see, really.
Yeah.
It's been a long season, this one.
Yeah, and I mean, this time last year, we can think we were all playing for that. I think it was about this time we had that rematch, didn't we? I was away on holiday when we needed to... How was the end of the season?
We had to play Wimbledon Millwall again.
Millwall again, that was it. Yeah.
Tuesday.
It was on a Tuesday night or something. Yeah. And then it was a crazy sort of end of the season because you got a little bit of
Had loads of games. Yeah. I think we had something like, we had 8 games and we had to win them all to basically win the league, as long as the other team didn't drop any points. So
I was going to say one thing that sort of must be frustrating for you, and I think it was for us. I mean, you had the TNT Sports and the men's team game moved to the Sunday.
Yeah.
Obviously, you were displaced.
Yeah.
I assume that a request was made to postpone the fixture for another day, or was it never done? Because I know, obviously, we played it at Horsham's ground.
Yeah.
How did that all come
up? It was asked that players could be available for Saturday, but a lot of our players, you know, that's their only income is to work on a Saturday, so they said they prefer not to.
Yeah.
But of course, the opposition would have had to have agreed to play on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And the league weren't really supportive of any date move, so we had to basically play it. So we obviously spoke to Horsham, and the pitch was available.
We've seen that in sort of the National League this season. Obviously, the weather over the past few months has been quite crazy in terms of the men's game. Yeah. Lots of teams having to play the last few weeks of the season on 2 or 3 nights a week plus a Saturday. It seems weird that the sort of ruling bodies don't have any sort of leeway and movement. So was it frustrating that you couldn't, for example, this weekend, you haven't got a fixture? Yep. Was that something that was put to them to say, can we move it to there? And what I don't understand their reasoning why. It was a perfectly legitimate reason, you know, the men's team, the mainstream of income.
Yeah,
the club
I'm not too sure what the rationale was, but I think in the last 13 weeks, we only had 7 games. And in one of those 7 games, we had to play a midweek game where we had some weekends available, which was much easier to play a weekend than it is a weekend a weekday, because people have to leave work early. Even if it's a home game, you've got to leave work early. So it was, a bit frustrating that they couldn't move it. And we'd have obviously preferred to play at home. So it wasn't necessarily the best case scenario for us.
Yeah, fantastic. Finally, end of season women's party, I think, is scheduled in for Friday the 10th of May,
yeah,
with the Worthing FC Support Association. So yeah, if you remember, come down and party. You're getting your dancing shoes on.
I might throw some
depends
shorts.
It depends how it works on the week on Sunday against Cambridge. Yeah. How are you preparing for Cambridge? What's the sort of mentality? Obviously, you've cemented third place. You know, yeah, are you giving some players a go that haven't played for the rest of a bit of the season, or are you still going in there first team, first pick?
It depends. Obviously, yeah, we've got this training, yeah, this week and next week, so it depends who's fit and strong. But yeah, it'd be good to give the opportunity to some players who haven't played so much. Mm-hmm. But then also you want players on the pitch who have played and got us into that position. So good thing is we can have 5 subs, and it gives us an opportunity to hopefully get more minutes for more people.
And end the season on a high, I think. But yeah, so obviously come down to the end of season party on the 10th, Friday, yes, the 10th at Woodside, is it, at the bar?
Yep.
Yep. WFCSA membership as well, required to come in as well for, yeah, the men's.
And a reminder that there's a coach running. Yeah,
coach running.
Is it Ely?
Pardon?
Is it Ely? Cambridge City play?
No, don't.
It just gets on the bus and goes to a ground.
Say aim it that way, yeah.
Chauffeur, drive me.
Yeah.
But remind us, everybody, there's a coach available. £10.
Yeah. And John, will catch up with you next, well, probably in a few weeks, actually, end of season podcast. But good luck for the last game.
Thank you very much.
See you at the party. And we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Cheers, John.
Cheers, everyone.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Cheers to John for speaking to us, and next month we'll speak to him and Kelly to round up the season and the end of season podcast. And do remember the end of season party with the women's team on the 10th of May in the Stand Bar, and for WFCSA members as well. So looking forward to that. Jacko's going to get his groove on.
Yeah, if I'm there, yeah. I'm just thinking, am I working or not that night?
I thought you promised to get your groove on.
Maybe.
He's getting on the karaoke. Anyway, guys.
You don't want to do that. That's the end of the party.
Action-packed podcast. A couple of things we need to sort of be having to touch up on. New stand has been approved with conditions. We'll talk about that more next week because Keith is going to come on and talk about it in detail. We asked him to come on tonight, but he and I guess we felt maybe this is important to do this one as a playoff special. And, you know, we'll talk about the stand because that's what's going to happen in the summer. It's been approved. And we'll hopefully get Barry on to talk about the club because no matter what, from this time last year, the club has changed massively again, hasn't it? No matter what the result's going to be this weekend and possibly further weekends.
Everything on the pitch, off the pitch is progress, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you see where we come from and with the development of the stand, the development of the ground, you know, we're getting there.
Who would have thought Chris Biggs would have opened the stand?
I know. I still think that was fixed.
They trust him with a pair of scissors.
Yeah, I know. Well, what was the thing Gary said? He was once banned and now he opened the stand. But that new stand at the St Elmo Road end, it's brilliant to see. You know, it's a brilliant stand. It just makes it look so much more professional now. And with the planning application gone in and approved of what they're going to build on the north side of the ground, it just looks unbelievable.
Yeah, but like I said to Barry, I think the shed end now needs doing up as well.
It looks going to look like the almost worst stand in the ground, isn't it?
So who would have thought that? Nobody.
It's almost sacred though, isn't it?
Yeah, sacred. So the day they take the roof off that, they'll be through, won't they? You can imagine it now. But TNT cameras coming down to Woodside in the past month or so, that was a great experience just to see Woodside on TV and, you know, just to think that this could be a regular occurrence. You know, we thought the first time might be an FA Cup game, which obviously got to the first round this season, but it wasn't to be. But how good was it to see, like, TNT broadcasting such a fantastic game?
Yeah, but I think at the time they announced it, both Bath and Worthing were doing really well. And then it got announced, and then both slipped a bit in the form table.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it got announced just before Hinch left.
Yeah,
we thought he might be a pundit, but it was who was the pundit? Was it Slough's manager or something, like one of the presenters? I think it was Slough's manager. But I said, I wonder if Hinch was at the game. He was actually standing behind us in the shed, and nice to see him. So we never got to say goodbye, but you know, shout out to Hinch. You know, well done for keeping York up. All the naysayers, all the keyboard warriors on like social media saying he was not, it was not good enough, not the right person, but eat your words, because he kept you up. He kept you up, and now the time for rebuilding. His real challenge begins now, I believe.
Yeah, I think, and you know, I think now he's got someone like a good John Stamp on the team to bring some players that he wants.
And leave ours alone, please.
House. Yeah.
Just a few rooms going, some players will go. Not from this club, but from other clubs.
I mean, I would you generally be surprised if a Worthing or ex-Worthing player turns up at York this summer? I personally wouldn't.
Well, Marvin's already there, isn't he?
Marvin's gone there, yeah. Marvin is there, and I think there might be one or two
possibly
going.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
But, you know, fair play to them. You know, they've got a great stadium up there.
But then again, like I said before, it's progress for the player, so you can't really stop them.
You can't. I think the only thing, there might be a little bit of hoo-ha if we are in the same league, and you're like, well, hang on a second, you've settled here. But then York's got much more money than we all have as well, so
that's football, though, isn't it? Football. Yeah. It's business.
It is football. So I think that next month we'll do the end of season podcast. We'll get a few more people on. We'll be able to discuss more things, details. What I wanted to say, though, Spencer, have you had any service station stops this month? You haven't done a Spencer services for a couple of months. What was Yeovil like? Did you stop at any service stations on the way to Yeovil?
Yeah, Solstice services near Stonehenge become quite a regular pit stop this year.
So any updates or any update on your review?
No, it's all a bit dull.
A bit like this subject.
It's all kind of the usual stops.
Spencer services are the best. It's an award winning section of the podcast. I don't you know say it.
Is it now?
My award. My own award. And I think we have to touch on this. Congratulations to Ollie Pearce. Not only has he smashed it this season with the
40 goals.
40 for goals at the moment in the league only. I don't know how many league cup only. Goals. I don't know how many cup goals he scored, but to get to England and see him come on the screen as a sub and nearly changed the game.
And to throw into that as well, that he wasn't first choice at the start of the season either.
No, he wasn't, actually. He
fired him up a bit, didn't it? Can you imagine if he was first choice? He'd scored then. Might be on 50 goals now.
Yeah, we never know.
You go back and you forget about that, don't you? You think, why was he?
If you think about it, we'll talk about it later in the next part, but the season's been a weird season, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
For many, you know, I think this is the first ever season where we had five goalies. Five different goalies in goal.
We normally only have one or maybe two.
One or two max, but you know.
Very true, guys. But this Sunday, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting day here at Woodside Road. We'll be selling the Two-Faced Twin shirt. So if you haven't got one yet, or you know, family member, or tell a family member, say they're going to be available. Spence, Jacko, and hopefully myself will get back from work on time. We'll be selling them, and members of the WFCSA will be down there to sell the shirts. So £35. We have take card. Donation goes to Worthing Food Foundation. But yeah, support local artists, support local charity. We've sold a lot, and we're really thankful for your support. So
get one for the summer, nice and bright,
and get them while they last, because at the rate it's going, they're not going to be remade again, so they are going to be a limited edition run, so please do get yours. Thanks again to MK Window Cleaning, Price Jones Electrical for their support throughout the season. I'm sure most people listening to this will be down, but if you're not, Pete will be commentating on Sunday. He'll be on rebelyell.live, so do tune in for that, as long as he's better. He's resting his vocal cords, isn't he?
He's making notes.
Yeah, he's doing his admin. Hopefully, we won't get kicked out of his own stand, will he, for celebrating too much. But good luck to the boys. Sing loud, sing proud, and enjoy the game on Sunday at Woodside Road. And hope, I'm not even going to say it, but we'll see you next month, and we will have an end of season podcast. Let's just say that. Yeah. For myself, James,
Yakol,
Spencer.
Good night, everyone. Good night.